Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Brian, thank you very much. And still to come in the next hour of the programme, Japan's Iron Lady, the new Prime Minister who admires Margaret Thatcher and once played in a rock band. Should property tax increase to pay for better services, or is it simply unfair and regressive, we debate? And you put it in your mouth every single day, but how dirty is your toothbrush? We're going to find out a little bit later on. Now, the Gartha Commissioner, Justin Kelly, has requested that the Serious Crime Review team look at the investigation into the death of Liam Farrell. The County Leitrim farmer was found dead in suspicious circumstances at his home over 5 years ago. Commissioner Kelly wrote to the Farrell family to let them know about the cold case review, and I'm joined on the line now by Brendan Farrell, who's Liam's son. Brendan, hello to you.
Good morning to you. Nice to talk to you again, Claire.
Good to talk to you. And can I ask you how you felt when you opened that letter?
Oh, do you know, there was a sigh of relief, Claire, to be honest. Because, you know, we're coming into 6 years now in January, the 12th of January, since we found poor dad at the back of his property in that horrendous, horrific state. And it's, you know, it's as if it's happened 5 minutes ago for us. To get that letter yesterday was just like, it's like we've been listened to. They're taking daddy's death very serious now. They're moving it up to the next step. And I'm very thankful to the Commissioner and also to the Justice Minister, Mr. Jim O'Callaghan, as well. I feel, and I really feel this, that the cold case team will be able to do justice in this investigation. I think there's a lot more people to be talked to. There's a lot more of information to be found out. And I do feel that, you know, if this was done correctly from day one, we wouldn't be in this situation, but we are where we are. Mm-hmm. We can't change things, but we can move forward. And I think it's a positive step moving forward now to find out what happened poor dad that night.
Now, the letter that you got says that this review is going to happen and you'll be contacted by the person who has been put in charge of this review. But beyond that, you don't really know, do you, the specifics of what's going to happen?
This is all new to us, Claire. Yeah, this is all new to us. So they said they will be in contact in the coming weeks with us to arrange a plan on how the investigation will take place, or how the review will take place. And it's just, yeah, it's just it's a very welcomed letter, you know, because mm-hmm. we've gone for years, as you know, Claire, we never had any public appeal. And that was a huge frustration for us. I mean, this didn't go public until the inquest, the day of the inquest. And I always, you know, wanted a public appeal because I felt there might be information out there. And I felt that, you know, people may have information no matter how big or how small, and they might be able to bring some light, shed some light to what happened that weekend. And we were very frustrated with that, you know.
I'm sure you were. Well, I know you were, because we've spoken about it here in the past. And so many people as well might have seen the primetime special on the case. And I know that our colleagues in primetime worked hard and with you on that. Do you think that that made a difference, that all of that coverage made a difference?
Oh, without doubt. And I'm very thankful to the team in primetime for their wonderful work. There was months of very hard work put into that programme, and to the teams there from graphics and design, and Fran and all the crew there, they did a fabulous job. I think what it did was it brought it up to its pinnacle, that people across the country and further afield could see, well, look, what happened in this situation, because they've heard me talk about it and my brothers, but they were able to see it put together so carefully of where dad walked down that night, and they did the reenactment of that. And I thought they put it together very well, and it showed, you know, exactly, it was a normal Saturday night, Claire, something that he's done, you know, for years and years, just to go down a few short steps for a few drinks. But as he left, there was a large number of people outside when he left the Weir Lodge, and then the last known sighting was at the, as he passed the local taxi man, and the local taxi man said to me, he said, your father was in full flight. He was flying home, not a problem. So from that taxi to Daddy's property, I believe there are issues, and obviously issues at the property as well.
Mm-hmm. And just remind us, and I know this is always hard to talk about, but it was the next day that your sister found your dad, wasn't it? And then you were the third person to arrive after she called you.
She did. Anne called me at about 29 minutes past three. I had to go into work for an hour or 2 hours that day. And I'll be honest, Claire, it was the most horrific day of my life. I rang the ambulance straight away. I asked Anne, did you ring the ambulance? She said no. I said, drop the phone. I rang the ambulance and then I rang my wife. My wife got there a few minutes before I did. When I got there, I drove, let's say, in the drive to my father's house, and I knew the ambulance would be coming, so I left some room and I pulled in at his window. I ran, my heart was thumping. And I came around the corner, Claire. And the problem is, I didn't recognise him. I don't know whether people can understand this or not, but this is my father, the big, gentle giant. And his head is wedged into that wall. And I didn't recognise him. And I knew when I was working on him, we were doing the CPR, and I could feel, I knew, but the way things were around his body, someone had been there before, maybe to comfort him in some way.
Mm-hmm. Because and his, the scene was, I remember just, you told
scene was to, carnage.
You told me that his coat was sort of tucked in around him.
The two coats. So he was a very well-dressed man, and people would often say that about Dad. He was always so well-dressed, you know, and he had a suit on, and then he had an overcoat. So the overcoat was tucked in one side, and let's say from under his arm down along his side of his body, and then the other coat was tucked in the other side. Mm-hmm. And but yet the shoes and socks were a foot and a half to 2 foot out from his body, one shoe, one sock. Over to the right of that, you had the watch, which was broke. His tie was still tied in a bow, and that was to his left, up out from his shoulder. But his collar was placed down. Another issue was when we were in the ambulance, and the paramedics were so wonderful. They worked so hard on him. I asked them to take out his false teeth because I was afraid it might interrupt when they were working on him. And that caused me concern as well, because if anyone was saying, oh, your father took a heart attack and he thought he was in bed, and he thought he was going to bed in a confused state, well, he'd always take out his teeth, he'd roll up his tie. That wasn't the case in this situation. So there was so many alarming things. Like I often say, Claire, if there was a blade of grass out of shape around Daddy's, I'd know it. Mm-hmm. I've grown there all my life and I know the feel of the area, and I knew. And I still know to this day there was somebody there before I got there.
And that's what you've been trying to say, you know, so clearly and so eloquently over the last 6 years. But as you say, now you feel as though you're being heard. But back at the inquest, we heard that because your father was taken to the hospital for a post-mortem, that meant that the forensics pathologist wasn't the person to carry that job out. And that really should have happened, shouldn't it?
Literally, it got off on the wrong foot straight away. The communication from my dad's house that Sunday evening, there was a communication problem because the hospital doctor pathologist, he said that at the inquest, had he been told that my father's house was sealed off, he would not have conducted an examination. He would refer it to the forensic pathologist, i.e. a state pathologist. And I often put forward the argument, if my dad's body had been found in Galway or Cork or in Dublin, that the scene would have been properly secured and sealed off, and also that a proper forensic examination, i.e. state pathologist, would have been called to the scene. And we were denied that in Daddy's case, as we were denied a public appeal, and we were denied protocol and procedures at the scene as well.
So then we come to the meeting 2 weeks ago with the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, and you presented him with this report, didn't you, which you had submitted
That's
to him
right.
in advance to read.
Yeah. So we had put together a 44-page report. There was over, I think, 100 exhibits in that report, very carefully done. And a lot of time went into it. And it's related to issues that we've seen in the investigation. And I have to say the minister had thoroughly gone through that report. And he briefed himself up with An Garda Síochána's point of view as well. So I think he was able to see both sides, you know, in this investigation from the Gardaí point of view and from our point of view.
Mm-hmm. And so then we come to the point where you get this letter telling you now that there will be this review into the case, but you haven't been given a sense of the timeline, Brendan, have you?
No, I suppose we're still kind of dealing with the fact that we've got the letter yesterday and it's all new to us now.
Yeah.
And I suppose in respect to the team there, we'll just have to wait for them to contact us and then see what the plan is going forward.
But
you know?
But you must feel, Brendan, like you have achieved something now for your dad.
I do, Claire. And as I'm doing that, I'll be honest with you where I am, Claire. I'm there with my dad walking up the road. He would cross at an angle towards the front gates. He would put his left hand in his left pocket of his coat to take out his keys before he'd come to the house. And that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at, because I don't know what happened. And I'm hoping that the cold case team will be able to delve into the issues in this from day one, from the minute that the first phone call occurred to 999, and that they'll be able to take it from the beginning to secure the information. And I feel that they will be able to find out more information into what happened at my dad's property and even on the road up towards daddy's property.
Mm-hmm. And let's hope that you get to that point. You've been so dignified, you know, through all of this. And I'm sure there are times when you haven't felt like being like that, because it's frustrating, isn't it? Not to know and to have these
sad
questions. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad from the point of view that we miss him dearly. He was an amazing father, grandfather. He was an amazing husband to my late mum. And he loved the kids and he loved simple things, Claire. He'd head off to Knock there. He'd ring me and I'd say, well, where are you? He says, I'm over here and Knock, and he'd have the dinner on the way back, and then he might head off to Donegal. He'd love to go to Donegal, but he'd love, then he'd ring a few times and he'd have the news and he'd be asking me, was it busy? And then, you know, I'd call up to him at the weekend and he'd be down and we'd go for a bit of dinner. And even during the week, a few days before he died, we had the dinner, and little did I know that was going to be our last time together, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, I think everybody in the country hopes that you get the answers, Brendan, that you and your family are seeking. And I want to thank you again for talking to us, and congratulations on getting to this point. And let's hope that it takes you to another stage now when you get those answers that you so badly need and want and deserve as a family.
Yeah. And can I thank you, Claire, and all the team there, because your help obviously has played a big part in it, and all the media across the country and the people of Roosky have been just absolutely, their support is so overwhelming, as it is people right across Ireland and further afield. And I'd like to thank everybody for all their support, because, you know, without your support, I don't know where we'd be.
All right. Well, Brendan, that is what we are here for. And we're glad to have helped in some way. Brendan, thanks again. Brendan Farrell there, who is the son of Liam Farrell, and that Serious Crime Review team will be looking at the circumstances around Liam's death. And hopefully there will be more news from that to come. We'll take a break.